This is the story of the one. Who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. 908 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Chris Staley, the mayor of Washington City, is here as well. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning, everyone.
At great risk of peril to myself, I'm going to adjust this chair so I can face you now. We talked about this before we went on the air. The chairs here are kind of dangerous here at Town Square. You never know when they're going to change heights on
sit
you.
Sit at your own risk.
Yes, sit at your own risk. But, Chris, thanks for coming in today. It's good to see you.
It's my pleasure.
I know you're a big fan of high school sports. Crimson Cliffs playing for the semifinals in the state championship tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Up at the U of U. That is, by the way, Washington City. People think Pine View is in Washington City. Pine View is technically in St. George City, but Crimson Cliffs is in Washington City.
That's right. And you did a great job on the call against Green River last Friday. I caught you on the post game. And
the game was ended up being a three-point game, but with a minute 18 left, Crimson was up by like 18. So yeah, things.
Well, so we left the game with a minute or two left.
Yeah,
and then somebody who stayed texted us, and so I driving home, and I thought, well, I better turn the radio on, and so I listened to those last two kind of garbage time scores by Green Canyon with on your play by play, but.
The winner was never in doubt. They had, you know, even with those two late scores, it was still a three point advantage. But they scored on the last play of the game, for crying out loud. So
anyway, they had a good little quarterback.
Yeah, good quarterback, good runner,
a little undersized.
They kept him. They did a pretty good job of keeping him contained, but he had running back like moves where he would, you know, he was making cuts and moves that a lot of quarterbacks don't have.
But he took a couple of shots that I wasn't sure he was going to get back up from.
Yeah. When you got McKay Wright gets you in his sights, watch out.
And he had two interceptions. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They had him returning kicks late in the game, too, by the way, that quarterback. Now, how often do you hear of your quarterback returning the kickoff? Doesn't happen very often.
I guess in high school sometimes.
Yeah, still, even then, you don't want those guys. Because the kickoff return is the most dangerous play in football. You don't want your quarterback to get hurt.
Best athlete, last game of the season if you don't win.
I remember years ago, do you remember Corey Dillon played at Dixie College?
Sure do.
And when they brought him in, he was so good, they wanted him in on every play that they had the ball, including kickoff returns and punt returns, but one time he got a little dinged up on a kickoff return, and Coach Croshaw realized, look, this guy's my meal ticket this year. We're not going to put him on kick returns anymore. Even if he returns one or two for a touchdown, it's not worth it to risk the fact that we need this running back in the game. So, yeah, they took him off.
Where did he play in the NFL? Was it the Patriots? I'm trying to remember.
He played the Bengals mostly. Ended up at the Patriots at the end of his career.
Okay.
Yeah, but he set all kinds of rookie records and second-year player records with the Bengals.
Yeah.
Good guy. So, okay, let's talk about Washington City a little bit. First of all, Veterans Day celebration. How did it go? What was it like? I was not in it. We actually went up to Parowan for some barbecue and to hang out with some veterans up there, but it turned out well, yeah?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I was saying leading up to it that Veterans Day is celebrated, and you know, we honor those veterans all across America. But nobody does it better than Washington City.
Nice.
I mean, we have Veterans Park right downtown. And really kind of the thoughts that were going through my head as I finished the parade and then stepped back in with my wife and we watched the rest of the parade and then we had a program in the park. I just had this thought that this is Americana at its finest. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's okay to feel like we're stepping back in time just a little bit. And holding on to those traditional values and those community interactions. So
I was going to ask you, one of your fellow mayors, Nanette Billings, had a Bake a Pie with the Mayor Day on Tuesday. And the there were no background checks, no forms to sign, nothing. You just go and get a pumpkin at the Fisher family farm, and then you go to her house, and she teaches you how to bake a pie, and then you leave at the end of the day with a pie. Is that anything like that ever going to happen with the mayor of Washington City? Bake a pie with Kress, or I don't know, smoke some brisket goodness. With Kress, or
you know, I make a pretty good pot roast in the crock pot.
Okay,
I wish I would have known. I mean, Nanette and baking a pie out there—that would have.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It to me, it just screams America. Kind of like your celebration of Veterans Day. It just screams Americana and going back in time to the 1950s or 70s or whatever. And I love that. You know.
You know, speaking of kind of history in Washington over the years, and this is more of the Independence Day and Pioneer Day, the 4th and the 24th of July,
mm-hmm.
we have this group of ladies that we would refer to as the Pie Ladies.
The Pie Ladies, of course, yeah.
And so they would...
No, now they're the famous Pie Ladies.
Yes. so they still carry on, but you have to get there early on those celebrations if you mm-hmm. want to make a pie or buy a pie that's made by the Pie Ladies.
They'll be gone, yes. Yes, the Pie Ladies.
But I love those community traditions.
Yeah.
You know, even as communities grow, you kind of hold on to those. And I think it's fun for people who are new to the area to just kind of join in, you know, even if you don't fully understand the tradition, and maybe the locals don't always fully understand the tradition, but we just do it anyway.
Yeah. We lived in Washington City 19 years and some of us still like, where did this come from? The barefoot sprints races in the park the 4th of July. That's still going, right? They still do that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, there's the grass there is just, there's no place better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. Washington City. You guys, speaking of tradition, the old gymnasium, right?
Yes.
It was, over the years it went through, it was a museum. It was somewhat of a gathering place. It was a school for a while. But now it's going to be something else. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so you have the two-story sandstone school
mm-hmm.
that was built around 1900. And then on the back of that was just under 3,000 square foot of a gymnasium.
Gymnasium, yeah.
Or they actually, back in the day, called it an amusement hall.
Okay.
And so you're absolutely right. This was kind of the hub of the activity. This is an old kind of squeaky gym floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's got a stage on it. So all of the community gatherings would happen here. They had picnics out on the pavilion, you know, Christmas plays, all this kind of thing. And then I think kind of right around the time that the new Washington City Community Center was built, what we started calling the old gym just kind of got forgotten about. And it wasn't used by very many people. The Lions Club would meet there once in a while. Even for a while, we had the SUU Head Start, but it had gotten run down and in disrepair, and it was just kind of a mess. So the prior council had allocated some RAP funding for a cultural center, like a cultural arts center. So we, with common sense, kind of down-to-earth council, they recognized that rather than building a new building, we should revive this existing building. Mm-hmm. And the project is coming along really, really well.
Yeah, it's going to be what is it going to be then? What there will no longer be a basketball gymnasium, right?
So we kept the original floor.
Okay,
but
a wood floor.
It's a wood floor. Okay. In fact, it sits on around the perimeter of the gym is like basalt, kind of lava basalt stones.
Okay,
and then on top of that is the sandstone that they quarried, and then they laid beams, and so this floor is on the beams, and it still currently it still has the little basketball court painted on there, but we're going to keep the floor, but I think you're going to sand out the lines and refinish the original floor, so will no longer be a basketball court. In fact, it was funny, they used to just literally they would take tire tractors those tractor tires, and they had formed basketball hoops, basketball standards in those tires, and they would wheel them in to the old gym and put one on either end. And that's kind of where Washington City Rec started. The indoor started at the old gym, and then the outdoor started right there at Veterans Park. And now, of course, everybody wants to sign their kids up to do recreation in Washington City because we do it so well.
Yeah. Up at the community center now instead of the old gym. But well, that sounds fun. Now there it's going to be like a, I don't know. I'm trying to visualize because I haven't been in there and you have, but like just kind of like a big old ballroom type thing.
Or? Yeah, a little bit. It's a community gathering space, a cultural arts center. So we've tried to restore the building. But you could host meetings there. You could mm-hmm. host a reception there. You could host a little bit of, like I picture at Cotton Days, a little bit like in Santa Clara, where they have kind of that reception center off their city hall. Mm-hmm. This is a separate space. So I'm starting to kind of refer to these buildings and city hall as kind of the commons or Main Street Commons in Washington.
Okay.
But this is the place where you could have concerts going during Cotton Days.
So and it won't have permanent seating, but you'll be able to set up seating.
So, yeah, and we actually did the seating to where, because we have the stage there, kind of like you see in church meeting houses,
yeah.
We have chairs that you can slide under the okay. stage, and so we can set that up.
Somebody told me those are haunted, by the way, those little tunnels underneath the stage. I don't know if that's true.
Well, we've poured concrete on the dirt that was there. And then we built a little lobby, added some restrooms, added a kitchen area. And it's just, I mean, it's going to turn out so nice. So we're hoping to have it done this year because it's 100 years on the dot. It's possible that the final ribbon cutting might be into 2025, but I think it will be substantially completed this year. And nice. Really, you've just got to come out and see it to kind of get a feel for it. And I promise that we will put this building back to good community use for a number of events.
Very cool. I do want to mention, folks, if you want to text, have a question or call to Mayor Staley here on the Andy Griffith Show, the phone number to call is 673-5890. So you can go 435 and then it's 673-5890. If you want to text, and I just did get a text, we'll read that in a second, but you can text me at 435-467-5842. This is for you, Mayor. It said, follow up for the mayor. You were asked a question about responsibility for parking lot repair near Walmart
yes.
crosswalks. What did you find out and yes. who has responsibility and liability?
I thought about that, and I have talked to my public works director, and we are going to take care of it.
Okay.
Yep. So, in fact, I drove that just a couple of days ago. And we are going to take care of that.
Pretty significant grooves, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's if we leave it to the property owner, it might never get done. So that is on the work order list for our crews to do. But yeah, I actually really appreciate that kind of feedback because sometimes I find I'm the eyes and ears, and so if it comes back through the community, it also allows me to just reach out to in this case my public works director and. And he's got that already on the list to take care of.
But remind me again who that is?
Blake Fonsbeck.
Blake. Right. All right. Yeah, Blake.
Yep. Cash Valley guy.
And Blake had a health scare last year or 2 years ago, but he seems to be doing well, huh?
Yeah, he's good. He's back on his feet, and he's just doing a great job. And, soft-spoken, just kind of knows how to get things done.
He's tall, too. I like tall guys.
Tall guys.
I like short guys, too. Yeah. But I like tall guys, too. Anyway. I think we have a caller on the phone line. Yeah, Roy on line one wants to ask about Main Street exits. Well, what's on your mind, Roy?
Yeah, I just noticed that Washington, they do these projects, and it seems like they sit done for a while, and they don't get them functioning into use. Just curious what's up with that.
Can you tell me the project you might be referring to specifically?
Yeah, I'm talking about the exits off of 15 on the Main Street.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you're right, Roy. Those have been sitting for some time. This is the UDOT project, and so they're the lead on it. We did participate to an extent with that. What I can tell you is, and I'm probably using the wrong verbiage, but there was a little bit of a rough area where it transitions from the freeway to the bridge that they wanted to smooth that out. And when I spoke to Blake about that, he said that they've got to re-pour some asphalt there. And the temperature when you pour asphalt, and I'm no asphalt expert by any means, but how it was explained to me was that the temperature has got to be 50 degrees and rising. So they're looking for that window to get that asphalt down. And I think that's one of the last punch list items. I've been saying on this show that, anticipate by the end of the year. for a minute. I almost dared say by the end of November, but I think we're probably a few weeks into December is the latest word by the time they, by the time UDOT feels like they've got those punch list items finalized and safe and ready to permanently open.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate you calling. He makes a good point. Sometimes we see the public perception, right? My wife drives by that spot every day. I drive by it, you know, a couple times a week, and I'm like, man, that sure looks done. It sure feels done. It sure seems like it ought to be open, and yet it's, you know, it's not open again. Is there, I mean, obviously you've asked them about it. You gave a great answer, but can you say to them, hey, you know, we're ready, let's go here. You know what I mean? It just seems frustrating sometimes.
So honestly, Andy, I'm not so sure I'm ready for traffic to drop onto Main Street.
That's true. That's a good point.
So, I mean, yeah, but he's absolutely right. It looks like it's been done for some time. And I wanted to say the word sway a little bit on that, but I just recognize that the way that it's explained to me is just not quite fully complete to standard. So they want to make sure it's complete to standard.
As an old Washington City guy, I can understand your feelings about, well, I'm not sure about all this, but, you know, progress happens. I mean, we talked about the Northern Corridor a lot this week and with the ruling coming out from the BLM, you know, progress happens. And the best we can do is try to deal with it in a positive way. Speaking of the Northern Corridor, obviously it would start in Washington City. How does that affect you? I mean, is it going to make traffic worse because they right now don't have an answer?
Well,
the answer they have, I should say, is not a very good one. Anyway.
I mean, with the Dixie MPO, with the municipalities throughout the county, we plan regionally. I think the city that's going to be, I mean, certainly it's going to affect all of the residents in southern Utah, but I think the city of St. George kind of stands to be the most negatively affected.
For sure.
But here's kind of what frustrates me is, and we've called this the Dixie spirit over the years, right? Which is that collaboration, that working together, and sometimes without looking at, you know, boundaries and things. But at least in Washington City, I look at master transportation plans that go back 30 plus years. Now, if you think of that Green Spring area, there was no houses. I mean, there might have been a few on Prickly Pear Drive here and there.
Not much.
But seriously, nothing. No residential development or housing up along where that northern corridor would tie in. I mean, Green Spring Golf Course, you know, is you know, wasn't even built when we had the concept of the northern corridor. So we make these master plans locally, and that's really, in my opinion, the way that government works best because it's closest to the people.
Yeah.
But over the years, we have planned for that. So Washington builds the Washington Parkway that comes off of Grapevine and Exit 13
right.
and ties all the way up to Green Spring, and now it's going to dead end. And we've planned with that. We've had congressional approval for the Parkway. We've built our part, and now those who have come in later and those who you know have a cause of sorts are pushing back on the Parkway, and it's like, well, hold on just a second. Where were you 30 years ago? Did you not look at these plans? Did you not do your due diligence when you chose to move here? I've gone too far. I've already crossed the line.
No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, though, because there are people actually up there now who are unhappy that this could actually happen someday.
It should be no surprise to anyone.
Right, exactly.
And I love those residents up there, but it really should be no surprise.
Yeah,
and then for it to get tangled up in red tape and you know an additional environmental study or whatever, it's just really frustrating.
I think they call it secondary environmental audit or something like that. I forget the name.
I joke that we should have had the bulldozers out there as soon as Congress voted aye on that thing and at least paved the path. But
yeah, all right, different topic. Text here. Was wondering how the audit between Washington City and the Division of Water Quality has been addressed and if there's a final outcome and if there is a possible fine from the Division of Water Quality. I'm lost on this one. You're going to have to help me.
I'm lost as well.
Okay. Come on. I thought you would know what he's talking about. No? Washington City and the Division of Water Quality? I don't know.
Yeah, I just know nothing about it. I'm so sorry. I can go back to my water guys.
And, yeah, whoever texted that, and there's no name on it, but if you could maybe give us a little follow-up on what exactly we're talking about, because we are not sure.
Yep.
So, all right, where are we at? Almost to weather break. So let's get an update. My wife, who is, full disclosure here, I always like to do this, she is the executive assistant to the city manager and city attorney in Washington City and the mayor, said I should ask about the Covington House.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what's happening with the Covington House. And by the way, my daughter got married there 1 year ago last Monday, I think it was. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what Roy and I had owned the parcel, the lot just to the north of the Covington home,
okay,
which is, if not the oldest, among the oldest standing homes in all of the county. It was Robert Covington led one of those initial groups, mm-hmm, down to settle Washington. But what we've done there is we've actually, because of the donated lot by Roy Nyson, we've added a little parking facility in that, okay, just adjacent to the Covington home. And we'll also put what was the old Bishop storehouse that at one point was on John D. Lee's property that was kind of in that same neighborhood. So we're gonna bring that back up from where it's sitting, you know, down below the Virgin River. We're gonna figure out a way to bring that back up, and we're gonna display that next to the Covington home. And now we've got this parking facility, and it allows us to kind of open up that home. Our youth council and youth council advisor, they do tours there. I mean, of course, like on Christmas in Dixie and other times. So we want to see more things happening at the Covington home. And this will allow that to happen. It'll allow for a little bit of parking and a little bit of use for that
pillar. I was going to say, when my daughter got married, that maybe was the biggest issue was parking.
Yep.
Because it was a great little gathering. We actually had, it was an outdoor wedding out in the backyard, yep, there, and the fountains. And
under that big pecan tree. And
we even got Lee Bunnell to do the vows.
There's nobody better than, yeah, Lee Bunnell to do that.
Yeah, Lee Bunnell, it kind of is Washington City. He's been in Washington City. He was a judge for what, 30 something years?
Absolutely.
In Washington City. So, all right, Jeanette on line two wants to talk about a rough road in Washington City.
Let's,
Jeanette,
do it.
What's on your mind?
Hi there. Well, you know where Washington Fields Intermediate School is, and I believe the road to the east of the school is 240 West. And
okay,
if you head north on that, there's Mellow Road. And the kids, that road is so rough, it's very bumpy, and they tell me they can't fix it because on one side is the farmer that owns the field, and they can't fix it. They can't fix it because they don't have a right to fix it. But if you just picture, there's a lot of kids that walk on that road. It's dusty, bumpy. And then when they get to Mellow Road, they have to cross Mellow Road where cars go 40 to 50 miles an hour, and there's no crosswalk.
All right, Mayor, thoughts?
Yeah, so, you know, I appreciate that feedback. And I, you're talking like north and south on 240 West. Is that right, just to clarify?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let me just address that. So, and let me start like by this. So when I was a school-age kid,
just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. we had way more potholes on those farm roads than people. And over my adult life, that has flopped. We have way more people than potholes now on those roads. But there's no doubt that as these farm fields and it hurts me every time I see a farm field turn into a subdivision, it's hard to see that happen. But when that does happen, the full width of the road does come with the development of that parcel. So you do have a bit of a patchwork in some areas of where, you know, the middle section of the road is done, or the middle section and the developed side of the road is done. And then on the other side where there's still farming happening, they have their right to do that as well. But what I will commit to you, Jeanette, is I'll go back and kind of review that Safe Routes to School. We take Safe Routes to School very seriously. That's why you see Chief and a lot of his officers out there at those critical intersections. I heard you say Merrill. I drive that periodically. I want to just pay closer attention to Merrill and 240 and kind of see what's happening there. talk to chief, talk to traffic engineer and kind of get a little more feedback on that. But, and then I've got to look at the safe routes to school and just make sure we're doing what we can, because there's not a higher priority than safety for our kids as they're going back and forth to school.
All right. He's Mayor Chris Salem. Mayor, I got to get a weather break and a commercial break in here. We'll be back with more talking Washington City today on the Andy Griffin Show.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're talking Washington City. All right, got a couple of texts. Let's see. Jeanette, who had called earlier, followed up and said, appreciate that, Mayor. At the very least, we need a crosswalk that crosses Merrill from 240. A lot of kids cross there. I wouldn't argue at all with that. I think a crosswalk at an intersection is always a good idea.
Yeah, I'll take that back to the police chief and our traffic department, and there's a science to that. We'll look very closely at that and see if it warrants that.
Follow up. This is the guy that asked about the Walmart, the grooves in the road. He said, follow up to that. What you're saying is the city is going to spend tax dollars to repair something that a private developer should pay for? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that, like Mayor said, and I'm going to answer that and then I'll let you answer it, Mayor, but it ain't going to get done if you don't. So, I mean, bottom line, right? You want it done or you don't want it done? And that's, I guess, a lot of times that puts the mayor or the city council or the city manager in an awkward spot, because, you know, somebody complains about something, if the answer is that's not our responsibility, the people are mad. If the answer is we're going to fix it, even though it's not our responsibility, they're going to get mad. So, yeah, I don't know.
I hear you.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir, right? all right. So the elephant in the room is the Salt Lake Tribune article. I read the article. To me, it seemed like, for those that didn't hear about it, basically it's one city council member accusing another city council member of using funds frivolously, specifically around some tickets to Utah Tech games. And I don't know. I don't want to say it's a nothing burger, you know, I whatever that means. But it seems like two guys just disagreeing about something. Do you have a take on this, Mayor?
Yeah, and two great individuals, by the way. Two individuals who bring a lot of value, a lot of expertise, and a lot of love for the community. And so it's hard when maybe some friction spills over into the public sector, and it makes it hard for you know, the rest of that elected body, myself included, for the, you know, staff and citizens to kind of reconcile that.
And do you have a city council meeting tonight?
We had it last night.
Oh, it was last night.
We had it last night.
Was there friction last night about all this?
Yeah, no. And I can tell you that the rest of the body and the manager, we care deeply about our culture. Mm-hmm. We care deeply about the way we conduct our business and the way that we lead the city. And so we're working very hard for, you know, a reconciliation and for just, in fact, really, I would sum it up kind of like this is, you know, we're looking to the future and to all of the great things happening in Washington. And we're not really looking to the past. Mm-hmm. Now to the Salt Lake Tribune article. Mark Eddington is the
writer
who wrote that story. He wrote a story prior to that I absolutely loved, and he quoted a lot of locals. It was a story about some of the downwinders and some of the nuclear testing that had occurred. In the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, Nevada test site and all that stuff.
It was a great article. In fact, my family had been affected by that, and other locals have, I know. And so I had gotten to know Mark a little bit on that story. And then when he reached out for comment on this, I think Councilman Belliston reached out directly to him and kind of, you know, made some allegations. But it was funny because when he had texted me to call him back, I was just driving, and so, you know, read the text to me, and so I said, well, I'll just call him right back. And so I said, hey, Siri, call Mark. And I thought I said Eddington, his last name, but But I ended up with calling another Mark in my contacts. Okay. And he's like, hey, Kress, what are you doing? And I said, oh, is this not Mark? He's like, no, this is your neighbor, Mark. And, you know, we caught up for a little bit. And then I finally said, hey, I really apologize. I had meant to call Mark Eddington from the Salt Lake Tribune.
Right.
I think they're doing a story on my city, which, you know, never makes me that comfortable.
Right.
And he said, hey, Mayor, don't worry about it. Nobody reads the Salt Lake Tribune.
It's kind of true. I hate to say that about a guy who used to write for the Tribune years ago and the Deseret News. And one of the now I'm going to go over this real quickly because I think people need to know this. There's something in the newspaper business called a paywall. And there are most newspapers in the modern world have had to transition to online. Most newspapers, not all, but most newspapers offer that service free. They make their money through advertising. Well, the Salt Lake Tribune is one of the few newspapers out there, and I think Wall Street Journal is, you know, they're not on a par with Wall Street Journal, but whatever. New York Times, a couple of those, still charge money to see their online content. Salt Lake Tribune, I think it's like $9 a month or something like that. You get full access to their stuff. Well, I don't know about you, Mayor, but I do know me, and I know people that I know, they don't want to pay to read an article on the internet. It's not going to happen, right? You know, unless it is an incredibly compelling article, it's not going to happen. There's even some of the big, you know, Epic Times and some of those big-time conservative news sites, and I'm like, well, I'll look at it until it's not free anymore, and then right. I'm not looking. And so I think Tribune does this incredible disservice to the people of Utah in being a pay site, it behind a paywall. You get a certain number of stories free, and then from the, and so I think what that done is exactly what you just said. Nobody reads the Tribune anymore. Deseret News is, they've changed their to Deseret.com instead of DesNews.com, but people still read it because it's free. And people still go there, especially if you're into sports. You know, they're yeah. really good at covering yeah. high school sports, but I don't know anybody that pays to read the Salt Lake Tribune. I really don't. So
that's their, you know, they're gonna just determine their business model. But I think most just make it up by advertising, and that gets a little annoying when the pop-ups come.
Sure.
But let me just kind of address a little further your question.
Okay.
So we had a good conversation, and Mark's he's a decent guy, and really what you know, like you have a council member that has some frustration that's looking for something, you know, maybe looking for a way to find fault or to make accusations.
Okay.
And then you have, as you read, the manager, myself, the rest of the council said, look, these were budgeted items. This is not out of line. But when we had this conversation, and when I did get through to the writer, my last question was, I said, Mark, is this really a story? Do you have a story here?
That's kind of how I felt when I read it. I'm like, not much of a story.
And if you read, and a lot of us are so busy in our lives that we have, you know, the news feed that scrolls up. And if you read just the first few paragraphs, you're like, oh, there's Washington State, what are they doing? But then if you read the rest of the article, it gives you more context, but yeah. not full context.
Right.
But it's like, who's reading, if they are reading the Salt Lake Trib, who's reading to the end of the article to recognize, oh, this might just be, you know, a difference of opinion.
Yeah. I guess the one thing maybe it does make me wonder about is there a problem in government? And I mean, President Trump is talking about he's going to appoint Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy as a government, an efficiency
yes.
basically, to try to cut down on all the excess. Is there excess in Washington City that needs to be cut down on? Is that the bottom line of what the story was trying to allude to?
So President Trump has Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Washington City
mm-hmm.
has Councilwoman Kim Kasperson
yeah.
and Councilman Brad Henderson. And they pick through that budget with a fine-tuned comb. And I love it.
Yeah.
And anywhere where there might be, I mean, sometimes we're literally having conversation about, do we do the fireworks?
Right.
And if you do them,
how much does it cost?
You have yeah. this community that loves it. But if you don't do them, you have people that so we're like, what's the cost? Do we put Christmas lights up?
Yeah.
I mean, so we dig into this budget for value on every single level, and I love my council for that. They, the manager and the finance director, they primarily set the budget based on council priorities based on, you know, a lot of the services that cities provide. But when that council, they take that duty very seriously. And also, in fairness, we have employees that are continually asked to do more and more and more with less.
Yeah.
And so I would put Washington City up against Washington, D.C. as a model of efficiency. And I would put Casperson and Henderson up against Musk and Ramaswamy.
I think that's what people want to hear, Mayor, is that you are not wasting our funds, that you are not, you know, we pay taxes and we want to make sure those taxes go to things that are important and not frivolously on whatever.
There's,
you know,
no doubt.
So, and that's exactly what people want to hear. And
in fact, just last night, my council asked that every single interlocal agreement that Washington City has with another entity or another agency be reviewed and looked at for value and cost.
I like it.
Yeah. And so we're continually looking to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars.
Well said, Mayor Chris Staley. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I was excited to learn just moments ago that Chris Staley, mayor of Washington City, is a Dr. Pepper guy.
Oh.
I love that, man. I'm a Dr. Pepper guy, and, you know, there's Coke and there's Diet Coke and all. We went on a cruise to Europe this summer, and Larry Gelwix, the travel guru, who is on the station, you know, he's a friend and ally and everything. He told the European people, he said, be ready to have lots and lots and lots of Diet Coke. And I was like, wait a minute, come on, really? So my choices on the cruise were Diet Coke, Coke, something they call Fanta, which is just orange soda.
Yes.
And Sprite. That was it. There was no Dr. Pepper. So I went on a 10-day Dr. Pepper diet. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Didn't convert me over to Coke at all. although I did find that if you put a little bit of a grenadine and some vanilla in a Coke, it tastes closer to Dr. Pepper, but not quite. But yeah. So you're a Dr. Pepper guy. I didn't know that.
Total Dr. Pepper guy.
I love that, man. And Stockton's over there. He was a Diet Pepsi guy. He gave up soda pop, and he's over there going, yeah, you guys need to give that up.
I only drink on the weekends, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I'm not like a daily, but
okay.
On the weekends, that's my... It's my little...
Now, you're a runner. How does that factor into your being a runner? Yeah. I mean, the runner people will tell you, do not drink soda pop. That will kill your air, your breath.
When I was 16, my brother and I, we made this bet of who could go off soda. Because at 16, you want to be this great athlete.
Oh, yeah.
We made this bet on who could go off soda longer. I killed him. He's a Pepsi guy. Don't even give him Coke. But I went 25 years drinking soda.
Wow.
And then my sister-in-law, whom I love, she tempted me with the Dr. Pepper, and so now I drink on the weekends a little bit. Dr. Pepper, nothing. You know,
right,
not
right,
an
right,
alcohol
right,
drinker
yeah.
still, but. But she says, you know what, Chris, I like you a little better when you drink Dr. Pepper once in a while.
It makes you happy.
You're not quite as intense as you might be otherwise. So, Candy, thank you for reintroducing me to Dr. Pepper. There's your shout-out for the day.
If folks remember back in the 80s and even 90s, caffeinated sodas were... As you know, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they were kind of taboo. You weren't really, nobody ever said don't drink those. There was never a commandment, but it was kind of an understood thing. You don't drink Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, et cetera. And when I was a missionary in the mid-80s, I remember showing up to a church gathering. It was a picnic, and I had a big gulp from 7-Eleven. And there were a lot of people, mostly older women, but a lot of people
did
who
the
were
lightning
looking at
strike.
Me like, what are you doing, elder? You know what? And so I actually gave up, doctor, I gave up all soda pop from that point for about 4 or 5 years. And then one time we went to visit my grandma and grandpa in American Fork. They lived right by the railroad tracks in American Fork, old fashioned, as you know, as old school as it comes. And, of course, they're very formal. You sit down in their formal living room, and she brought out some cake that it was a nut, coconut kind of cake.
Yeah.
that I think they'd probably had for maybe a year or two. It was so dry. And she brought out two little glasses of Coca-Cola. And I am sitting there with my five-year no-drinking soda pop and this dry, dry cake that, now if you go to grandma's house and she serves you cake, you eat the cake, right? You don't. And so I'm sitting there with this dry cake and the only thing to drink was this Coca-Cola, and I was at a crossroads at that point in my life and I had to decide, am I going to offend grandma and not eat her cake, or am I going to eat the cake and die of thirst and choke, or am I going to go ahead and drink the Coke? What do you think I chose?
Well, you can't offend grandma.
No.
I mean, there's...
No. I drank the Coke. Yeah. And that broke the bow. And then for 20-something years, I drank Dr. Pepper. And then I quit again in, like, 2017 for about 5 years. And then it's back.
Yeah. I find it's just occasionally. Limited, like you say.
Yeah. And Dr. Blodgett will tell you, he is our health professional here in the area. He said, I'm not telling you to quit anything. He says, just moderation in all things.
I like that.
Yeah, moderation.
Doctor's orders.
For sure.
Just what the doctor ordered. Dr. Pepper.
All right. Anything coming up, Washington City, we need to be aware of? We're down to our last 4.5 minutes.
Yeah. So on the first Monday after Thanksgiving annually, we hold Christmas in Dixie.
Okay.
I think that's the right date. Check me here. Yeah, turn it to the...
December 2nd.
Yeah. So that evening, I don't remember the time that it starts, but that's a wonderful activity just to come out, see the tree lighting, listen to the... We'll have hot chocolate and donuts. We'll have, you know, the fire barrels out, the choir singing.
Kids are singing. My kids have sung in that many times.
It's a little bit magical. The wagon rides will be up to the Covington home. So that's a really fun community event.
And it's really expensive. It's...
Absolutely free. you know, dress warm, but it does. It's kind of a fitting way to kick off the holidays and just to be there with the community, with the, you know, warming your hands over a fire barrel and watching, you know, the countdown to the big tree lighting in the middle of Veterans Park. These are just some of those cool community events that we do.
I know the pie ladies, they have their pies ready early in the morning. Can we get them to do some night pies for that night?
You know, I'll ask Annette. My cousin Annette grabs one of those that keeps that going. I'll ask her about it.
Was she the one that was a school teacher for a long time?
Still is.
Yeah. I think she taught two or three of my kids.
And her mom was there, Meg. So she was there for years. Now Meg lives up in Pine Valley. And then the other event that we have coming up is on December 7th. Which I believe is a Saturday. The math works out if the second's a Monday.
Yeah.
That is Pearl Harbor Day and USS Utah Remembrance Day. So if you'll remember, last year, Councilman Ivey, John Olson, some of those others, they led out on bringing forward a resolution remembering the forgotten ship of World War II. So going forward annually on Pearl Harbor Day, I think it's at 8 a.m., we're going to have, it's a really nice tribute at the park, Veterans Park, for the USS Utah Remembrance. And in fact, the state of Utah also passed a resolution, and we're trying to encourage cities throughout the state to remember that forgotten ship.
Do you know, and you probably don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, were there any Utahns on the USS Utah back
in the day? I don't believe so. No. But I will tell you another just kind of fun fact.
Okay.
Is that I ran
into... And you have 3 minutes to do it.
I ran into Tim Martin, and he kind of was part of that interfaith council, and he was a lieutenant commander on a nuclear sub.
I remember that. He's been on the show before. In fact, I need to have him back.
Yeah, he's great. And talking to him just recently, he said that a new nuclear sub is going to be named the USS Utah.
Really?
So we're going to have Tim out there to share a few words on that, and... He actually was wearing a hat with the USS Utah. So, as I understand, this will be the third vessel, for lack of a better term, that will be named after the Utah.
Very cool. And by the way, some nuclear sub trivia for you. Do you know that they're over 300 yards long? And you see the pictures of submarines in the movies and stuff, but the actual main area where the engineer is and the captain and all that stuff is gigantic. It's like almost as big as the park across the street from us right now. These things are humongous. So But yeah, I think it's time to get Tim Martin back on the show, huh?
Yeah, that would be good. I understand he might be moving up north, so do it sooner than later.
Okay.
And, you know, my mind's right now kind of thinking Hunt for Red October and, you know, nuclear subs. Connery, if my Google search will fact check that a little bit, this 300 yard, Andy. I mean, you know, that's big. It is long.
These nuclear subs are gigantic. And, yeah, you can fact check me. That's one of the things that has killed guys that think they know it all, like me, is Google. Because hey, what's this? And I'll tell them, and then they'll Google and find out that I'm wrong.
Okay, well, we're talking subs.
Yeah.
I have a daughter that's celiac, so she's gluten-free. And okay. So it's always like, do you different have a sandwich? Yeah. So this different kind of sub is, rather than having bread, you put the sub on a pickle.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
And so we're kind of joking back and forth. I'm trying to convince her to try a pickle sub. We'll see if she will.
I can tell you this right now. I do not like cucumbers, and pickles are made out of cucumbers, and I wouldn't eat that if you paid me.
Yeah, vinegar doesn't make anything better. No, I don't know.
Except ketchup, maybe. But Mayor, thank you for coming on today and for being forthright with the answers about everything. And you know, we're going to fix that exit there to Walmart, and
yeah,
it's got to get done. So,
and I'll get the answer on the other text company. I love the interaction with the community.
Yeah, for sure. He's Mayor Chris Staley on Mayor Thursday on the Andy Griffin Show. Chris, enjoy your DP this weekend, my friend. We'll be back tomorrow. Open lines tomorrow with Mello.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.